This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So far this year, as Alex and Dave have already mentioned, we've been looking at the idea of justice, of taking action, of understanding God's heart and responding to align our heart with God's. Now, some of you may be really energized by the things we've been doing. Maybe you've sprung into action. Maybe you've joined all the Kingdom Passion groups, even gone to every meeting. Maybe you've joined the story each month when we've done that. Maybe you've even shared your story there. Others perhaps have just been focusing on the day-to-day life, which has seemed hard enough as it is in this time. Others maybe don't really understand what all the fuss is about. Or perhaps you're frustrated that the thing you're passionate about, the thing that keeps you up into the small hours of the morning, just hasn't had any airtime yet. Wherever you find yourself, my hope today is that God will use my words to inspire and encourage you, that this won't be an exercise of feeling like you ought to or you should be doing something, but that instead it would be inviting God into the conversation, and allowing him to speak to you, me allowing him to speak to me through the words I'm going to share this morning. I think that we probably all agree that the world we live in is far from how we would like it to be. It doesn't take much to look at the headlines on any given day to see that the climate is not in a great state, that people aren't being treated well, and that there are things around us I think we would all love to see changed. And the climate issues need more than us just committing to reducing single-use plastics. That me buying purely fair trade chocolate isn't going to change modern slavery, although I will continue to buy chocolate just in case it helps. And that sharing a coffee with someone of a different ethnicity is not going to eliminate racism in our world. So where do we even begin? How do we even start? I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel like a rabbit in the headlights, just frozen to the spot, unsure of where to go, of what to do next. I can feel overwhelmed by all my good ideas, overwhelmed by my best intentions, and the relentless wave of things that come through my mind that I could do, that I should do, that I'd like to do, and then I'm just stuck in this point of indecision because it is just too much. I just don't quite know where to start. On a good day, I might manage one little better choice when I'm doing my shopping. On a bad day, I just walk back out of the shop because I don't quite know even where to begin and find myself with no coffee at home to drink, which is disappointing on many levels. But as I have pursued knowing and loving Jesus, hearing his voice, actually I found that following his promptings has become easier as I've invited him into the conversation with me on these things. I've read more, I've listened more, I've searched for answers, and some of the decisions have just become easier over time, naturally, as I have done this. And I found this verse in Matthew 25 really helpful. It's Matthew 25:40, which says, "The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Now, sometimes I question the impact of the small contributions that I can make. But on reflection, I realize that I am not just doing these things for their impact. I'm doing these things because I believe that they are the choices that Jesus would make. To prefer one another. To see the bigger picture. Care for the planet, the beauty of God's creation, and most importantly, to just stop and to think, to consider the impacts of my behavior. And I think that God's heart is becoming my heart as I do these things. It sounds quite simple, but for anyone who's tried to pursue justice, particularly social justice, I'm sure you'll agree with me that it is not that simple. It's challenging, it's complicated. There's not always an obvious answer or a clear next step. We need wisdom. I definitely need wisdom. Now, we've been dipping in and out of the book of James from the Bible this year. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, we find this verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And so God is to whom I turn when I am at my wit's end and I don't know what to do next. This year's theme of justice has got me rattled. This has always been a passion of mine. So I've been excited and frustrated, challenged, just all over the place, up and down at times, as I figure out, what does this mean for me? God, what are you saying to me here? Again, it has changed me, and it is continuing to change me, this issue of justice. Now, if I'm brutally honest with myself, I recognize that despite my education, my upbringing, my faith, my thought patterns and my kind of decision-making framework have really revolved mainly around me, my family, my friends, the people I know. And I've been asking myself questions over the years of what do I want? How does my decision impact me? I realise I prefer the taste of this rather than that. Or that brand of clothes fits well and that one doesn't. It looks nice. It's within my budget. And these are all important considerations, but I'm just challenging us that I don't think they're the only considerations for us to have as followers of Jesus. But as time has gone on, I've realised that some of these questions, they're not featuring quite so high up on my list of things now as they used to. My choices are becoming more intentional when I invite Jesus into them. In fact, I find it's often a bit of an inconvenience. That's probably not a good advert for doing this, but sometimes I don't buy the things I want to buy anymore. Sometimes I wait longer for things. Sometimes I end up spending more money than I might have done if I'd made other choices. Sometimes the quick, easy choices just don't sit right. They don't feel comfortable to me anymore. And that's because I think God has been opening my eyes to things as I've been asking him what's going on. As I explore the justice issues in the world around us, I think that God's heart is becoming my heart more and more. Now, this is my story. I felt compelled to research and find out more about the companies I buy from. And I've been really saddened by what I found in some places. Now, this might sound really trivial, but let me give you an example. I have a lovely pair of slippers. They're so nice. They're a repeat on my previous pair of slippers that fell apart. And I know it's the middle of a heat wave, but I am mourning the loss of my future pair of slippers because my next pair won't be the same. Because I've discovered that the company who make my really comfy slippers actually have quite a poor track record when it comes to modern slavery. And the slippers aren't ever going to feel quite as comfy or quite as nice for me again. So my current pair of slippers is going to get worn out. I'm going to keep hold of them for as long as I possibly can and make sure that I get the maximum use from them. But the thought of putting more money into that company just doesn't sit right anymore. That's just a little example from me. I think as I've explored this with Jesus, I've been really struck by the people at the bottom end of some of our supply chains. I've started to see those people as Jesus, I believe, sees them, as precious children of God. They're deserving of far more than slavery and cheap labour. Now, I've had moments when I've just felt paralysed by the vastness of this, by the complexity of the problems out there, and that's when I turn back to God and ask for wisdom. What can I do here? What is my personal response? What choice do I make here? And I've learned to question and say, Jesus, now you are drawing my attention to this. What are you actually asking me to do here? How are you changing my heart to become more like your heart? And I've changed as I've become aware of these choices and as I've gone down the path that I think Jesus has marked out for me. But please listen really carefully to this bit. This has happened when I've asked Jesus those questions. When I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something or to change. And so my listening and my learning has been led from a place of compassion and the gift of God's wisdom, which I mentioned from James. Not at all by guilt or feeling like I should do something. This is God transforming my heart, not other people telling me what to do. God has challenged me personally to lift my eyes above the immediate people in front of me who were the crux of my decision-making before, and actually think more about how my decisions impact those on a wider global scale. And I love to read and I love to learn, so I've learned about the impact that we have on those living in low-lying climates, low-lying countries, who aren't the ones causing the pollution and the damage to the climate in the same way we are. I've learned about sugar farmers, cocoa harvesters, cotton weavers, and many, many more. I'm a quick reader, but even saying that, I'm not an expert, but it's where God has prompted me. I've thought, hang on, there's something I need to find out a bit more about here. And some of you may be challenged to do a similar thing, or maybe you're challenged to campaign your local politicians, or to go everyone for, I don't know what it is that God may be speaking to you personally about. But the most important thing I'm talking about here is a change of posture, a willingness to let God speak and lead you, to trust that God is at work and that God will highlight things to each and every one of us if we're willing to listen to his voice. Now, these things, they're not necessarily new to me even. There are things that I've known and been aware of for a long time, but suddenly it's like they're just jumping off the page. I don't know if you've ever experienced that suddenly every headline is something, or every time you walk along the high street, you're just suddenly aware of things in a new way. But that's what this has been like for me. I've shifted from seeing myself as an entitled consumer, probably driven by finding the best bargain, to really seeing myself as almost partnering with companies and thinking that if I'm going to hand my money over, who am I actually giving it to? And do I know anything about them? This can be time consuming. I'm not saying I do it for all my decisions, but particularly for bigger decisions where God is just nudging me to just be willing to explore and find out more. But my motivation is this. I do these things because I see Jesus in each and every person that my decision impacts. And I do believe that these are the decisions that Jesus would make. To care for the planet. To prefer one another. To stop and to think. To take time and consider the impact of my choices and my behaviour. And I'd encourage you that as I've done this, my experience has been the gentleness of God as my perspective has changed. I haven't felt condemned, but I've felt empowered. And I haven't felt overwhelmed overall, but energised instead to learn more. I've realised that I have so, so much to learn, and that I have fallen short of God's standard in Matthew 25:40, which we read before. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And I don't think I've done that nearly as often as I'd have liked to. But I do think I've discovered a fresh revelation of this verse, which is why I talk about that gentleness of God, the grace of God. I've learned God reassuring me that it's whatever I did, it's every little thing, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant it feels, every time that I have done something, because I've seen Jesus in another person, I have done it for Jesus. Whether it's a one-off, whether it's a tiny thing and it feels incidental, that attitude, that posture of who I'm doing it for has value. Gives value and worth to the people it impacts. So I don't need to condemn myself for the things I haven't done, but I need to encourage and keep on doing the things that God is asking me to do. And like I've already said, I often feel out of my depth. There are so many things I'd love to do. And actually, the more I do this, the more I become aware of all the extra things I'd really like to do and see God at work in. So I need wisdom, more wisdom every single day. So for me, it's inviting Jesus into the conversation. And that James verse is one of my absolute favourites from the Bible. Let me read it again. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So I lack wisdom, and I long for more and more wisdom. Wisdom to see how my choices are bringing justice or creating injustice, so that I can change. Now I ask God for wisdom. I invite others to pray for me for more wisdom. I listen out for all the wisdom I can glean from listening to those who know far more than me about these things. I read, I use apps, I talk to people, we have discussions about some of these things at small group, all in the pursuit of wisdom and of learning from each other, and learning particularly for me, for others who are stirred to pursue justice in the same way that I am. I ask for wisdom to know what God is actually asking me to do, where I need to take action. I know that I don't have capacity to do it all, so I need that focus to just keep me doing something rather than doing nothing because it's too much. Wisdom to make principled decisions and not be swayed by something that looks like a bargain but really goes against everything that I've kind of agreed internally that I will or won't do. Wisdom to see the impact of my choices, particularly on those who don't have choice, don't have the freedom of choice. And I do this inspired by Jesus' words. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So that is what I do, and that is what Jesus is growing in me as we look at this pursuit of justice together. It's not always easy, but with each step I take, with each small step I take, I feel like I am growing God's heart in me. I'm becoming more like the follower of Jesus that I was intended to be. So I'd like to just take a moment and reflect together on these two verses that I've read, so that if God is speaking to you today, that you get a chance to just consider what your response will be and what you might do differently going forward from here. So let me read Matthew 25, verse 40 again. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So where might God be challenging you? Challenging you to view someone else differently and change your heart towards them. And then in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So my question to you this morning is, which of you lacks wisdom? I know I certainly do. Perhaps it could be wisdom in a particular scenario, or maybe just generally. And I mentioned this phrase, which I found really helpful, which is, Jesus, now that you've drawn my attention to this, what are you asking me to do here? How are you changing my heart to become more like yours? And what are you doing in me? So let me pray for those things. Lord Jesus, we know that this issue of justice is topical. It's in our news headlines. But it is so, so challenging. And it can be so overwhelming at times. So we ask for your gentleness to show us our next steps, to show us the things that we might do for you that we haven't even realized we're involved in. And I pray for anyone who, I pray for anyone who might be in tears over this. Just had a sense that there are people listening this morning, or maybe even listening after the fact, who found themselves just with tears rolling down their faces as I've been pressing on justice. And Holy Spirit, would you come and reveal what you're doing to these people for whom justice is something they can't escape? And I pray that they would become change makers. Would they become people who can't help but pursue this and would lead us in this? Holy Spirit, I thank you for the way you convict us, for the way you put thoughts in our minds that you can quicken our hearts as we respond to you and recognize that we do this in partnership with you. We need your prompting to highlight things to us. And I pray for those for whom this is, it has a guilt association. And I just pray that you would break that off, people, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the words of the Bible in James where it says, God, you give wisdom generously without finding fault. And so if you're feeling condemned this morning, challenged by the things you haven't done, and that's becoming the overwhelming voice you're hearing, God, would you just break that fault-finding off people? And I pray that from this day forward, this would be a chance for freedom to really trust God with exploring what you can do here and what God is asking you to do in your day-to-day lives that would make a difference for him. Invite Dave to join me just to share any words that have come in on the hello email address.
Hi, yeah. So there was someone this morning who just sensed God saying they want us to be encouraged that there's so much he can do, even with just our small amounts of faith. And the parable of the mustard seed was brought to their mind. I think that ties in quite well with what Anne's been sharing this morning. And there was someone else who felt God was saying that he just wants us to be coming to him in prayer and just taking the opportunity to do that. So, yeah, I'll pray into those things. Lord, thank you for everything that Anne shared this morning about all the things that we see in the world and the wisdom to deal with them. And Lord, I thank you also that there's faith and also that there's your power and that, Lord, you can do so much. I pray, Lord, that you would grant us the wisdom when confronting these things that we see. And I pray also, Lord, that we'd have faith to know that you work in these situations. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be bringing us to a place of prayer on a regular basis. That, Lord, just that your spirit would resonate within us to cry out to you and to rely on you in these things. I just pray, Lord, that these things that we want to change, Lord, that we'd change them for your glory and that we'd see your power working in it. So that, Lord, our testimony would be of recognizing injustice and seeing you bring change in those situations. So, yeah, Lord, thank you for your word this morning. I just pray for the testimonies of your great power to change. Amen. Yeah, I also just the reason why I asked Alex about the email address was just because I felt prompted that there's people in our church who just like the there's things that they want to join in with, not specifically kids, but that they don't necessarily know how, and they don't feel confident that what they've got to give is enough, so they don't kind of like put themselves forward. So I'd just like to pray for those people as well. So Lord, anyone in our church family who feels like they've got less to offer than other people, I pray, Lord, just for your Holy Spirit to minister them and to build them up. I pray, Lord, that people would see who they are in you. Lord, that they'd know that they're created by you, and that they'd know that they're part of your family, Lord. And I just pray that people would know what they can do through you and through your power. And I pray, Lord, for a church that's built up and improved by people who feel as though they're coming in from the margins, achieving their potential in you. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be seeing the effect of that in time to come. I pray all this in your name. Amen.